Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, June 25th, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Got another power-packed show for you today. Garrick Hodge is here. Mark Porter is here. We are in our groove. Lots of recruiting to discuss. But first, I want to start the show out offering my congratulations to Bruce Thornton, Ohio State's all-time leading scorer. The point guard was drafted with the first pick of the second round by the Houston Rockets. They made a trade with the New York Knicks to move up there. That means that Bruce Thornton is going to be playing for the Rockets next year if everything goes well. So congratulations to Bruce. Stuck it out. Probably made some good NIL cash, and now he gets to go get a guaranteed contract, I think, in the NBA. So fantastic. And I will say there's a mock draft out for next year, and there's a Buckeye going ninth overall. So get out your Google machines or guess. It's not it's probably who you think. All right, let's talk recruiting. Let's talk modern recruiting, Garrick. Modern recruiting, as we are, has become a term. If you look at the headline of today's show, modern recruiting clogs pipeline question mark. I almost put air quotes around modern recruiting, and I almost put air quotes around pipeline, and then I figured no air quotes. Everyone can follow it. Garrick has, I don't know if he did it on purpose, he's coined the phrase modern recruiting on this show. I think everybody knows what it means, and if you don't, you'll probably pick up on it. But it applies also to the pipeline, the Glenville pipeline, as one of Glenville's best players for next season, Kalon Bailey, is expected to commit today. Garrick. He has reported three finalists, so we know of three finalists. And as everyone here will attest to, the pipeline is called the pipeline because it's a smooth flow of talent. Apparently, something could be getting in the way of that flow. Please take the stage, set the scene with Kalon Bailey and where everything might go today.
Yeah, traditionally, the Glenville pipeline to Ohio State has been about as reliable as Jeremiah Smith on a third down pass when you got to have it. So this would definitely be a little bit of a shock to the system just from a traditional standpoint. So to back up a little bit, I spoke with Kalon a week ago today on Thursday. He was at Ohio State's final recruiting camp of the summer. Didn't camp, was nursing a little bit of a tweaked hamstring, I believe, but nothing that should linger on. He spoke very glowingly about Ohio State, said that they were his current leader at the time. Obviously, he said very flowery things about the Ohio State to Glenville pipeline and Arvel Reese and about Matt Patricia, James Laurinaitis, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is that Colorado is aggressively pursuing Kalon. To the degree to where it is a very significant modern recruiting opportunity on the table. To kind of put this into context, Dan, Mark, as you guys both know, I am a very diehard Chicago Bears fan, have been my entire life, grew up one. You know, when I was 12 years old, like I thought I wanted to play quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And then when I realized that that wasn't in the cards, I wanted to work for them, be involved with them, write about them however I could. Just to bring this into context, if you were to tell me right now that the arch nemesis of that team, the Green Bay Packers, was going to put more money on the table than I could have ever comprehended in my entire life, it would challenge everything I've ever known about the universe and make me do some second thoughts, but I'd have to seriously consider it. And not that Colorado and Ohio State are rivals by any stretch of the measure, but to give you an idea, yes, Kalon grew up rooting for Ohio State like a lot of Ohio kids, is very respectful of the Glenville pipeline to Ohio State, but it would be very, very hard to say no to the opportunity that he's been presented if what we've heard is accurate. And what we've heard is there is a tremendous, tremendous life-changing opportunity ahead for Kalon if he goes to Colorado. So, but then again, this is all to say, we'll see what happens. I don't think that anything's been finalized until he makes a final decision. I tend to give James Laurinaitis the Brian Hartline benefit of the doubt. And what I mean by that is I will give him the benefit of the doubt that Ohio State's going to stay in this race until the commitment is over and he announces that he's going somewhere else. I think that James Laurinaitis has that profound an effect on kids, and we'll end up seeing what happens. To wrap this up and then let Mark kind of take over on his thoughts on the whole situation, do I believe that Kalon Bailey could be a hell of a player for Ohio State and could fit that Arvel Reese role one day and be a profound player for the Buckeyes if he ends up coming to Columbus? Absolutely, I do. Do I think that it is smart business sense for Ohio State to go to the level that Colorado is allegedly going to right now? If he is probably not going to see the field year one and may not see it year two? No, I don't. So it's understandable from both sides. I mean, this is why a lot of people don't like modern recruiting, but hey, it's the bed that we're in right now, the world that we're in. It is what it is. And hey, hat tip to the kid if he can make the most out of this opportunity. And this isn't the first time Colorado would have done this to an Ohio State target. Actually, at the time, it was a commit. London Merritt, if you remember, a few years ago, ended up going to Colorado late in this, a couple cycles back. And he actually ended up transferring from Boulder. So, I mean, that is always an option down the road that even if Kalon does go to Colorado and maybe you don't get him year one, Dan Rubin does like to coin an Ohio Mulligan program. So never say never if that's how things end up unfolding today. Dan, you are on mute. You are on mute.
You're right. I am on mute because I'm on Brad watch. The little devil is I'm solo, and he may chime in at any time if anyone makes the mistake of walking in front of our house. Marcus, can you please put this in football and then the overall perspective for Mr. Bailey?
In football sense, I know he's trying to be the Arvel Reese, but he's not the Arvel clone physically that you would want to be the Arvel Reese. Okay. So he's a smaller player, probably profiles as a middle linebacker, but he has played edge. So he kind of has that. Oh, he can do the middle and edge like Sonny and Arvel were doing. There isn't anybody who has, I'm sure there are people, but I respect Ted Ginn from the beginning where he started as a janitor, how he worked his way through it, how many kids over 250 he's put into Division I colleges. That is beyond a pipeline. That is the godfather of recruiting in Cleveland, the amount of kids he's helped. The opposite side of that is if I'm Mark Pantone, I start putting on films where I don't want to know the kid's name and I don't want to know the kid's high school. Okay. Because I don't want that to be a factor in how much money we pay them, because it's irrational in the world of salary caps and business and whatever. And Mark Pantone might be able to do that. And, you know, it's famous for that scout and Moneyball saying, I don't travel with the team because I don't want to get relationships with the players. And I think we as fans are going into an age where when you have this love for Glenville and you just love seeing that G on the helmet and know you're getting a player out of that culture, what that means. I want them too, but there's a day and age where money is going to trump some of these things. And every now and then we're going to see a Glenville guy so go somewhere else. And Dan has coined a phrase also, the Mulligan program. So let Kalon go out there and cash in and maybe get some reps under his belt. And we'll take him in a couple of years when he wants to play big time football and come play for a national championship. I said this a couple, I don't know, 6 months ago, and I'm going to stick to it. I do not worry about Ohio State recruiting. I'm just going to follow it like a story. This is part of the story. Okay, Kalon may or may not go. I can assure you that within a week or two, we are going to have other linebackers that we're watching on this show that we go, oh, that could be the replay. That's who Kalon opened up the door for, because there are other great players out there. The first dibs go to the Glenville kid. If we're going to take a linebacker, let's make sure we do respect from there, and we give that guy the first dibs. But we will find other guys if he goes somewhere else. I don't want everyone to get in a tizzy today that we're going to lose a Glenville player. But this is the new modern recruiting where the money, and we beat this horse to death, the money's going to factor in more than anything, and we can get into family situations. I like Garrick said, don't there's a Hail Mary here for Laurinaitis and those guys. If, you know, the money gets close and, you know, you can kind of make things work and, you know, that pipeline will hold. But yeah, I talking to Garrick off the air, if, you know, what Colorado is trying to do is true, it's tough for kids and families not to consider it and put it on equal with Ohio State when most days Colorado is not equal to Ohio State. And you know, Garrick and I talked, Deion Sanders isn't in the best health. I mean, he's out there on one foot, basically. His kids are now moved on. I don't know how much longer his rope's going to be at Colorado. He needs a signature win. He needs some players in a hurry. This may be a push by them to get Deion a team in a hurry. Let's buy some players and bring them in, almost like Phil Knight, like, hey, let's inject some money in the program. And they may think that they're getting an Ohio State player, you know, and they can kind of tout that, hey, we won the war with Ohio State. Look what we're doing over here at Colorado. So they have ulterior motives for spending more money maybe and doing stuff like this. So yeah, modern recruiting, it's just a world where we're going to be breaking every day the new trends and the new angles people are taking on kids. So there you go on that one.
Colorado football program, not too sure about. As a school, I think I just read a poll recently that's like the highest quality of life for any average student. So if your kid likes to hike and do other stuff, I've heard Boulder's very fun. Don't giggle, Garrett. You didn't know what I was talking about. All right. Let's talk about someone else here. Two other commitments coming this weekend. Two guys Ohio State has been in the mix for. Two other guys that I don't know if we want to call this modern recruiting, but two interesting guys and two guys that I think are a little bit polarizing. One is Caden Moss out of Mississippi, an offensive lineman, and the other is Blake Wong, wide receiver out of Norco, California. First, I need you to tell Garrick, everybody, I should have asked this, when is Kalon Bailey's actual commitment time? Do we know that time today?
He hasn't announced one as far as I know.
We know it's today sometime. Yes. Okay, great. Sorry, that was my fault. All right, Blake Wong and Caden Moss. Caden commits verbally on Friday, Blake Wong on Saturday. Let's take those in succession. Your thoughts as Ohio State goes down the stretch. Maybe reintroduce the prospect and let us know who the chief competition is for the commitment.
Yeah, so the closer you get to commitments, the more differing opinions you expect to hear before maybe the 11th hour. And that kind of holds true for Caden. One source that has an opinion on this recruitment told me they believed it would either be Ole Miss or Ohio State, and it would come down to that. Ole Miss made a big push for Caden, who is a 6'5", 320-pound offensive tackle from Jackson, Mississippi, so an in-state guy for Ole Miss, a priority target for them, rated the number 69 prospect in the country and the number 8 offensive tackle by 247. Really kind of been the type of prospect that Ohio State has swung and missed on in the past couple of recruiting cycles for a premier out-of-state offensive tackle. Ohio State's hoping to change that. Will they? I mean, there's active conversations going on. We'll see ultimately when it comes tomorrow. I know Ole Miss feels really good right now. And then there was another source where they kind of thought that Ole Miss was a little overrated in this race. Not that that means that Ohio State's going to leapfrog to the front necessarily, but they thought that someone like Kentucky was being slept on here, if you want to bring modern recruiting into things. You know, Oregon's been involved with Caden Moss too. So I personally think that Ole Miss is going to do everything it can to land Caden. And we'll be tracking this over the next 12 hours or so on Bucknuts. So anything that I hear on where I think I'm going to lean for Caden, I will let you guys know on the premium board. And Dan is on mute again, so I will just bring up Blake Wan.
That's not happening again. We're going to have to hear from Brad. I'm going to risk it because I don't do good with the mute. Shocker. I don't like to be muted. Shocker. Blake Wong.
Yeah, Blake Wong is a wide receiver from California, kind of on the fringe of the top 247, rated number 244 overall nationally, 6'1", 170 pounds. This is really a BYU Ohio State race in my mind. Oregon's been involved to a little bit of degree. I guess you can't count them out completely, but I would favor BYU right now, and it kind of just goes to priorities in terms of BYU is recruiting Blake as its number one wide receiver. Obviously, there's a faith component for Blake that matches very well with BYU, so you can't discount that at all, which is very important. But BYU is treating Blake as its number one priority, and while Ohio State thinks that Blake could be a hell of a player in Columbus, it already has Jameer Brown committed. Still pursuing Monchon Sales, which I think Ohio State is a little bit more involved in that recruitment than some give them credit for, even though they're fighting an uphill battle against Indiana of all teams, right? But Blake spoke with him on Monday, was very complimentary of his Ohio State official visit on Friday, said that he's going to have a lot of discussions with his family this week. He's going to pray on it, and he'll make a call on Saturday. But I'll do a quasi if I were to predict right now for Blake, and I would pick BYU. But perhaps some discussions in the next 48 hours change things.
Mark, any strong thoughts on Moss or Wong? They're two guys we've taken a look at.
Wong, I got a good look at because he was running routes with the quarterbacks, and I saw him, and super smooth. And, you know, he's not one of those players that we're going to break the bank for because we have these super freaks that keep coming in as X receivers. So I think we're looking for like a two or a slot that'll come in and complement because we're putting our cash allotment, I think, a little higher. And he would have been a great guy to come in on that role. You know, and then the other guys, we're going to look at Fakatu. That's the guy that I can't wait to talk about. Every time you guys kind of change gears here, so I'm like, let's talk about Marcus. So just to preview what we got coming there.
Garrick, I know that they've discussed other receivers, and there is a vibe. I want you to touch on that a little bit about Monchon Sales. Very highly rated. Indiana native, who was raised in Alabama, and I believe his nickname is associated with the Crimson Tide. Do you feel like this is a realistic pursuit now? Because there was a second, second's not a good, I'd almost written him off in terms of guys they were realistically in the mix for. Should I be putting him back on the wish list?
I mean, you can always have him on the wish list, even when it's not practical. But I would maybe put like one big toe back into this. I don't know if I'd go 1 foot or 2 feet deep in, but I'd say my eyebrow is slightly raised there, but I still think that Indiana is the favorite in this recruitment by a mile right now.
Boy, that's going to be really interesting for people that are going hook, line, and sinker for Indiana. I really think if they have another great year, my guy's going to have a choice to go to the NFL or not. And modern recruiting may kick in other ways at that point. So we will wait and watch on that one. All right. One of the guys we discussed in earnest along the way here, and one of the guys who is a high-profile, high-target, first-level guy for Ohio State, Marcus Fakatu. Defensive lineman from California. His teammate, Kazi Curry, I believe the name is, has verbally committed to Texas. Texas also in the mix for Marcus. Before we get to the incredible video that Mark has for you, Garrick, please lead us through a review of his recruitment, where he stands, what they want out of him, and who the competitors are as we can talk about that and any commitment dates, et cetera.
Yeah. Marcus is 6'6", 275 pounds listed. I think he's actually up to 6'7" from what I saw in his measurement when he filmed himself on the Ohio State official visit video. And if you haven't seen that 25-minute behind the scenes look that he put out on his YouTube channel, go take a look at it. It's some really interesting stuff. You see guys like Ryan Day interacting with him. He gets a tour of Ohio State, and then he kind of gives his thoughts on the Buckeyes. So really insightful, good stuff if you want kind of a behind-the-scenes look of how these official visits operate for recruitments. But, yeah, I think that even as big as he is, I just naturally think, all right, this guy's going to eventually shift inside, be a three tech, something of that nature. He's determined to play on the edge and be a pass rusher on the outside, and I think they're going to give him that chance there right away. That doesn't mean that they can't shift him inside eventually, like, you know, Edric Houston ended up happening, but I think that they are recruiting him as an edge, and that's where he wants to play, and they're going to certainly give him a shot to excel at it. He is the 45th ranked prospect nationally, the third defensive lineman overall per 247 Sports. Right now he is down to Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas. What's that?
Oh, I'd say that's good list.
Yes, yes. He's down to Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia. Had visits planned to Oregon and Notre Dame, canceled them, which is really eyebrow raising because I thought that Notre Dame was going to make a really big play for Marcus. If you ask sources around the Buckeyes in Texas, they would probably tell you that the other is their biggest worry in this recruitment. Georgia is also doing their best to stay in this. I haven't gotten as much confidence from the Bulldog side. I think they have a chance, but not, albeit not a great one. But right now I would handicap as Ohio State for the favorite for Marcus. I've heard a tentative commitment date could be July 1st. That's certainly in pencil and not in ink. Things could change, but right now, the vibes are really good with Marcus in Ohio State right now. And at this point, with how optimistic it's been, it would be very disappointing if the Buckeyes didn't land him.
All right. Mark Porter, the floor is yours. You've done the video. You've done the Buckeye in the Sky. This will be up on the site in the near future. Your thoughts on Marcus?
I have a lot of thoughts. Does he have any team? Does he have any teammates that he wants to come to Ohio State? Because I would offer them. Does he have a girlfriend that wants to come to Ohio State? Because she would be offered, and she would be over with the kickers, and she could kick during practice if she wanted. I would make sure that NIL, we gave him whatever we wanted. Dan, when we were doing the pre-show, was like, have we watched him before? After one or two plays, Dan's brain will automatically remember everything about this player. There aren't players this long and this athletic and this freaky. We'll let the video play now to build him up to be a werewolf. He's going to be like a Calais Campbell. I mean, you get to see him out in space here, run around. He just moves really well, like almost oddly well for a giant this size. He looks like almost an offensive tackle with tight end running ability. I don't know if he will be on the edge forever, because I think once he gets in the MIC program, he could get – that's the move right there that gives you hope that he stays at end, that particular play. But he's probably going to move inside. He's going to be really heavy. He's going to be probably 300 and some pounds. There are ends in the NFL, Richard Seymour, some of these all pros that were just absolute monsters out on the edge. They pulled it off. And the way they pull it off on the edge is they crush the pocket, almost like he did with that tackle there. They just drive everyone back there. His first step and his get off would do well at three technique with his size. I mean, he's got a great quickness for that size. He gets into the backfield. You see how he hits the brakes there and he can redirect. I mean, this is to me the best defensive lineman with the most upside we've seen. I know some of these other guys might be rated higher. I remember when Garrick introduced him as the highest NIL player in the country for this cycle. Yeah, I can see why. Because there's no one else we've watched that comes in this form or this body type. Just so athletic. I don't want to – I always do this. Like, we're talking about another werewolf here. But to me, this is probably one of the crown jewels of the class if we hit Landon. If we got Gabriel Georges on one side and Fakatu on the other, boy, those are some guys you can – and then you're like, oh, my gosh, DJ Jacobs and some of these other guys. I mean, this player here – he might not be as flashy as DJ Jacobs or David Gabriel Georges, but to a scout like me, when you put on the tape and you see dirty work, this is the type of player that does a lot of that. That, boy, he's going to make other players better on the inside.
I want to follow up on that. You're saying you put him on the same level as DJ Jacobs as a prospect?
Yeah. I mean, at the position he's playing, he is the tip of the spear for what you want on that defensive line. He could play five tech and play end, but a three tech or nose, that's what I'm saying. He's just such a unique size. And how do you handle him as an offensive lineman? He's got such long arms and power. And, you know, like he's not even scratching the surface. I mean, we keep seeing these body by Mick photos a year or two later. This kid's going to look like an absolute creature. Let him get off the bus first. Alonzo Spellman, but looks way more athletic and polished already. You know, Alonzo looked a little rigid at times, a little lanky, like his body never filled out back in the day. Doug Worthington was another big, long guy at Ohio State. But the only comparisons, guys, I mean, think of the NFL guys, you know, Calais Campbell, some of these young, long defensive linemen that are even rare by NFL standards. How do you not put this kid on track with some of those types? Because he's not your 6'4", 275-pound, you know, defensive tackle, defensive end that we see very commonly. Unnatural length and athletic ability for this guy. The power forward in the NBA that's growing into a defensive tackle is kind of what this kid looks like. So, yeah, now that I just put him on Mount Rushmore with this class, let's hope he can live up to it.
I mean, if you are able to have a class with DJ Jacobs, Marcus Fakatu, and Wyatt Smith, Garrick, I could be speaking out of turn, but that would have to be the top defensive line haul in the country for the class.
They may not even stop there. They may add Carlos May, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. That's also in the top 150 prospects in the country. So I would even probably say Ohio State took a lead coming out of the official visit. Now, his commitment date isn't until July 18th, and as we've seen with commitment dates approaching, that's when a lot of discussions behind the scenes happen. And especially with Carlos, I was kind of monitoring things, how things would go over the weekend, because he publicly said that Georgia was probably his leader at the time. Auburn's another big player in that recruitment. But I think what really could work in Ohio State's favor here is they could sell Carlos that he'd be the only true defensive tackle in this class.
Whereas, only one technique.
Correct. Right. Whereas Auburn and Georgia both cannot sell that. They both already have other interior defensive line players committed. So I think that certainly works in Ohio State's favor, and he has a tremendous relationship with Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson has been working very diligently with that relationship. Obviously, a long way to go, more than 2 weeks until he announces, but right now the vibes are good about potentially adding Carlos May. So if you want to dream, possibly Marcus, possibly Carlos, add those in with DJ Jacobs and Wyatt Smith. That would be one of the better defensive line hauls in one recruiting class I could remember.
And we're going to head out, but that would be an excellent use of Ohio State of what I like to call modern recruiting. We appreciate the guys stopping by. Have a good one. Nutters of Buck.
Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's possible to discern some hidden pattern shared by all serial killers?
With a new killer each week.
Ah! I see those wheels turning.
When a copycat killer emerges, the BAU will form a dark alliance with a familiar foe.
Elias, would you help us?
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus.